Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
What's up? Welcome to the Fight Mixer. We are here. Tyler Goodjohn, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, boys? You good?
No, we're good, man. How's everything going? How's training been? Getting ready for BKFC 15. Are you excited? What's going on with you?
Yeah, I'm hyped. It's been a journey to get to this point where we're at now. It's been a real journey, but yeah, just over a week now, so just excited for it now, just to go put on a show.
All right, so I got to know, how was traveling from Europe to get all the way to the United States? How much of a fucking nightmare was that, making the travel?
So basically, we me and Mark Godby, we missed UK lockdown by about 2 days. Dubai, quarantined in Dubai for 14 days to then be able to fly to a high risk level country like the US. So it took some jet setting.
Are they doing the COVID tests before you leave and when you arrive, or how are they doing the COVID procedures to make sure that you're safe?
We had to have a COVID test before we left the UK to go to Dubai. You had to prove you obviously had the test and everything else, and then much quarantined in Dubai. I mean, you could walk around, we could train and stuff like that, but it was classed as a low risk level country. So everyone was walking around doing what they wanted to do, but it was classed as low risk. So
awesome.
And you and Mark looked like you were having a really good time over there. Did you guys get in any trouble or?
What's not to like about Dubai? Do you know what I mean? It's there was a lot of hot ladies out there, nice beaches and clubs and bars and everything else. I mean, to be honest, me and Mark, we trained super hard out there. You know, we had 2 weeks where we were training twice a day, but we did have one night where we ended up in a Sheikh's millionaire penthouse party one night.
Nice.
Me and Mark will be, that'll be a memory. That'll be to savor. It was a good crack. And do you know what, as well, like me and Mark, like we knew each other through our last promotion, but you know, we weren't, you know, great friends. Do you know what I mean? So Dubai for us was that where, you know, we had to live together for 2 weeks, train together, get to know each other for real. So, now we're like brothers now. Know what I mean? So it's been a good journey for both of us.
Yeah, and you might as well enjoy yourself. I mean, win in Rome and Abu Dhabi, Dubai is a freaking good time. You need at least one day to make it rain, you know, like that's an adventure all itself. So hard training camp, and you're getting ready to play Charles Crazy Horse Bennett, who's an MMA veteran. You know, you gotta make a switch from one opponent to another. What's the preparation been like?
If I'm honest, it's not been what it could be. Obviously, with getting out here and, you know, my trainers back home in the UK and, you know, stuff like that. Before I even went to Dubai, I put a good, I'd say at least 9-10 week camp in, CrossFit every day, pads twice a week. So I was pretty much fight fit, ready when I was in Dubai, you know what I mean? So it's been a matter of just getting sparring and stuff like that out here, which we did, you know, with Johnny Tocco's, DLX Boxing. So it's been great, you know, we've had some good sparring and that. So it's just a matter of getting in the ring now, do you know what I mean? I'm just ready to go.
Yeah. And Charles Crazy Horse, he's no joke. He's a madman. He's very unpredictable. So what's your strategy going into this fight? Like, how do you plan on beating him?
I mean, you know, you can take it as disrespect all you want. It's I've watched a couple of his videos and I picked about a million holes up in about 30 seconds. Do you know what I mean? So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I shouldn't be a person like this shouldn't be causing me problems.
Yeah, and so. On the whole, like, you know, BKFC, how'd you get involved with the sport? How'd you get involved with bare knuckle fighting? Did you do MMA? Like, what's your background like, and how'd you land in the United States, where you're going to be fighting on the top card of BKFC 15?
So my background is purely boxing. I'm 29 years of age now. I started boxing at 10 years old. So I lost my first 7 fights as an amateur fighter. And then it just all clicked, turned it around, ended up winning national titles. Turned professional glove boxing very early, in my opinion. If I'd had my time again, I would have done it later. But I turned pro at 18. I was very much a kid still. But, you know, when I look back on it now, I learned a lot of life lessons, a lot of lessons that have really toughened me up and made me strong for what I do now. Do you know what I mean? I had a successful professional glove career. I was English champion. You know, I got to box and fight on Sky Sports loads of times. You know, so I had a good career, but I didn't fulfill my potential, I don't think, as a professional glove boxer. But as soon as I found bare knuckle, I was like, you know what? You know, I'll fully agree to anyone and admit I'm not the best boxer in the world, glove boxer, but I'm the best bare knuckle boxer there is. I'm just made for this sport. It's a different ball game to boxing, in the same way that all the other fighters will say, you know, it's different from kickboxing, it's different from, you know, it's just a different animal altogether, bare knuckle boxing, and I feel like I'm the very best at it.
So adapting and going from boxing to bare knuckle boxing, what would you say is the fundamental difference? Like, a lot of people say, well, there's no gloves in one sport and there's gloves in another sport. But getting hit with a punch, getting hit with a jab or a cross or an uppercut from a glove hand or a no glove hand still sucks all the same. So what would you say, in your professional opinion, are the fundamental differences between bare knuckle boxing and boxing? And how quickly did you make the adaptation from boxing to bare knuckle boxing?
Do you know what? I would say that you know, I get people in my inbox all the time saying, I want to get into bare knuckle boxing. What, you know, what advice can you give me? And I just go, do you know what? As far as I'm concerned, it's just down to mentality. I've seen so many people come and go doing bare knuckle who you would fully expect to have done well because of their background before or whatever. But it's a different animal, bare knuckle. Got to put up with the fact that, you know, you're getting banged in the face, bare knuckle. But not only that, the fact that your hands are the hands are the worst bit. You know, just having to keep pumping that jab out when your hands the size of a balloon and you keep having to jab it out, that hurts more than getting punched in the face. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got a lot of fans in here, man. Like, how do you feel about, you know, 29 years old, you're already blowing up. I mean, you have a nice fan base going on. Everyone's following you. Everyone's excited for the fights. How does it feel like all this notoriety already so young in your career?
Do you know what? It's funny you say that because I've had, like, I mean, the American public will get to know a little bit better as time goes on, but my life has been madness. Do you know what I mean? Like, you literally could not write some of the things that happened in my life. So I feel like I'm actually quite like old. You know, some of the fights I've had, some of the things that happened outside, but in hindsight, I'm not saying so much like I'm 40 bits, but in terms of like mentally and experience wise, I've been through it all. So like bare knuckle fighting to me, this is fun. Do you know what I mean? When people look at me like, how do you look at this as fun? I'm like, I'm just, you know, my life has created me into this into this person who loves to bare knuckle fight, but I feel at home and I feel at best when I'm in there fighting. I can't explain it. I don't know why, but I am.
Yeah, and you're a notable name in the sport. We have plenty of notable names that are jumping over from MMA and from boxing coming into the sport. Do you plan on staying with bare knuckle boxing until retirement, or do you plan on doing what MMA people are doing now, which is crossing over and coming to bare knuckle fighting? Do you plan on going to MMA, going back into boxing, dabbling in other sports? I know Mike Tyson just put on a killer event on Charlotte, so what's your game plan with your entire career going forward?
I've been banned from professional glove boxing, so I won't be going back.
How did you get banned? What the fuck happened?
Honestly, and it sounds absolutely ridiculous. I done a podcast when I was a boxer about how I used to make 140 pounds, and I mentioned the fact that I used a sauna and a salt bath, and they took my license off me and banned me. That was what. 4 years ago, yeah, 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. So that was boom. That's how disposable you are in the professional glove boxing game. I was a pro for what, 7 years. Was in fight of the night pretty much every time I fought. Boom, take your license, done. So, yeah, that boxing is not an option. And to be honest, it wouldn't be an option even if I did it. I was allowed my license because I love bare knuckle. Bare knuckle's my sport.
Gotcha. And great guy asked a really good question. Would Tyler like to see any other British fighters come over to North America?
Yeah, 100%. There's loads of fighters. I mean, there's a few good fighters from back home, from my old promotion that definitely shot out here. Do you know what I mean? So, them guys will get their shot. They'll come out here. I've put a good word in for a few of the guys back home and see them out here. So, this sport, you know what, I went to the Miami show, a couple of weeks ago, and I was just taken back how good the shows are, you know, and this is in a time of COVID as well, where I was just like, it was electric, the show, the energy, everything. I mean, the American fights supporters are just, they're different to back home, do you know what I mean? I'm not disrespecting the guys back home, so I love my sport, but the American guys out here just love it. Do you know what I mean? The energy is pumping. So I'm looking forward to fighting.
And we love our British fighters too. So Luke Welling asked a really good question. Fighting the U.S. now, are there any other countries that you hope to fight in?
I mean, wherever's going to pay me the most, I suppose. I want to travel the world, of course. But, you know, when you're doing bare knuckle, I just want to be where I'm going to be getting looked after and be getting the money that I deserve. Do you know what I mean? And that's bad to see. So
I seen you storm the stage in BKFC 14. Anything crazy happen after that, or?
Well, I met Kendra Lust in the elevator.
What's that?
I met Kendra Lust. She's one of the biggest porn stars in the world. Yeah. She was in the elevator, so I got to introduce myself to her, and we message, and she's a fight fan and that, so yes, it was an interesting night.
You took home a porn star. Tell me you took home a porn star. Come on, give us the skibby. You can't end like that, man. Come on, what's happened?
Again,
did you take home a porn star? Come on.
Did I do what? Sorry.
Did you take home a porn star, good sir?
Oh, can I tell you one thing, right? So, that's what I done back home. I done porn back home. So,
okay.
In porn stars is never a problem.
Right on, right on, man. So, yeah. And going back to my original point, because I was talking about how much we love British fighters over here. My favorite fighter growing up was Prince Nassim Hamed. Especially in the lighter weight classes. I love British fighters. They're so entertaining. Their styles are so different, so unique. Who are your favorite fighters growing up?
Do you know what? My favorite fighters are James Toney. I just love the guy's style. I think, I mean, I used to just I used to religiously watch his fights after training and that, and just try and mimic the style with the shoulder and the head movement and everything like that. And then just for true grit and just balls, I just love the Toro Gatto. I don't think you can, you know, you can't watch a fight, one of his fights, and not have have shivers sent down your back. Do you know what I mean? That's what it's all about.
Yeah, man. And did you ever dabble in mixed martial arts, or did you ever watch mixed martial arts, or what did you think about the sport as a whole, and especially as a boxer?
Yeah, do you know what? It's funny you should say that, because typically coming from the background that I've done, always been dominated by boxing. Do you know what I mean? I've never, since obviously being with Mark comes back from the background of UFC and that kind of stuff. So I've delved in and tried to find out more about it because I'm friends with him. And actually, do you know what? I was laid in my hotel bed last night watching, it was like the best of UFC highlights. And I was just like, wow. Do you know what? I think it was like the best middleweight knockouts in UFC history. And I was just like, some of them, I was just like, wow, this is the real deal. I can see why this is so much bigger over here than boxing is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And after you get that past Crazy Horse, who would want to fight next? Like, who's next up on your in your gun sights? Who would you want to fight?
I want someone like, so really, for me, it's a matter of finding my weight division, really, because
Jim,
I feel like I can fight at 145 or 155. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's a matter of establishing a weight division. So this fight against Bennett is going to be at 150. So we'll see how I'm making the weight easy enough and stuff like that. So to be honest, if I feel good and made the weight easy enough at this fight, I think I'll probably move down to 145. If I'm doing that, I want someone like Spaghetti Bedford.
Yeah. And is your strategy like a slow burn, you know, eliminating people notch after notch until you get to the belt? Or do you want the quickest route possible to get the belt? You're ready, good to go. You want to fight the champion?
Can I just say one thing? So according to Spaghetti Bedford, and people aren't going to know what I mean by that, I mean that Johnny Bedford, the geezer who looks like he's got two noodles hanging out at the bottom of his shorts like that, Spaghetti Bedford. I want that geezer. I'll absolutely poleaxe him.
Crazy, man. And what other fights are you looking forward to on this card? I mean, the main event's going to be sick. I mean, your fight's going to be fucking gnarly. Like, what other fights are you looking forward to on this card? Or are you just focused on yours right now?
Do you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing. No, I'm looking forward to seeing all the fights. Like, you know, obviously coming from England, I'm not familiar with a lot of guys on the roster. Do you know what I mean? So, like when I was in Miami, I got to see quite a few of the guys that are in my management and stuff like that fight, which was great. Do you know what I mean? Because now I see how they fight and that. I'm just like I say. If this shows anything like the last one, you know, it was just mental. It was magic, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? Like, and I can't name a lot of the fighters too. So I'm learning as I go along, because I came from, just like you, I came from being a boxing fan, Mike Tyson, watching Mike Tyson as a young kid and Muhammad Ali, and then going over to UFC and watching UFC. So like, you know, bare knuckle fighting is kind of a new concept to me and a new concept to a lot of people. What do you think? And especially because you talked about it before, about mixed martial arts being so huge over here, what do you think bare knuckle fighting has to do, in your professional opinion, to make it to that next level where it's socially, nationally accepted as one of the top sports in the world, just like mixed martial arts?
Do you know what? I think it's there. It's like, you know, like I say, if you go and personally see a show, you'll be hooked from that moment on. I mean, obviously, I'm going to say I'm going to be biased because I fight for the company, but I was there a couple of weeks ago and I was just sat there like, wow, I had people around me and we were just like, this is different. Do you know what I mean? This is a different animal to anything I've seen before. But like you say, it is a very brutal sport. So we're it's trying to get it to the mainstream. But in terms of pure entertainment, it's got to be up there. So,
Yeah, David, you got to make one of these shows. I've been to the last two or three, and they're amazing.
Yeah, it's a good time. I'm looking forward to Sheena Star fighting Miss Savage on the next card. I'm looking forward to your fight as well. And yeah. And speaking of the fucking animal, I mean, Mr. Feldman, the guy who runs BKFC, like he's a goddamn savage himself. I mean, did you hear that story? He tried throwing Mike Tyson a whole bunch of money, like $10, $20 million, like to bring him over, and he brought over Paige. And like, Feldman is a fucking animal. That guy is no joke, my friend, especially as the figurehead of the company. Holy shit. Like, that guy's for real, man.
Yeah, this is, like, since I've been over here, I can see for myself, this sport's going places. It's got a real drive behind it. So I think it's a matter of... It's,
great fans.
You know, it's not if it blows up, it's when it blows up. And like I say, people, the more and more people are going to get hooked, you know, with every show. And like we say now, I'm bringing all the UK audience to BKFC now, so you're gonna get so many fans hooked from the UK, and then into Europe and everything else. So it's just gonna get bigger and bigger, in my opinion.
You need to like knock Crazy Horse out viciously and brutally. It's gotta end up on World Star, and you gotta call out Conor McGregor, the entertaining British guy versus the entertaining Ireland guy, dude. It's gonna blow up, panty dropper. This is gonna be a crazy fight, man. I mean, the opportunity is there. It's right there.
Yeah. I mean, imagine the press conferences. It would be entertaining. I'm game for it. And like I say, it's a sport that's getting bigger and bigger. So give it another year or so, he might be saying, look, do you know what? Actually, I want to shut this Englishman up.
Did you watch, speaking about Mike Tyson, did you watch the fights last weekend? What did you think about Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. and all the fights that happened that night?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I only watched the Tyson fight, it was great to see him back. Like, do you know what I mean? He's the trouble is, you sort of look at it through rose tinted glasses a little bit because you're like, you like for me as a boxer, I took it for what it was. Like Tyson's 54 against an old Roy Jones, and actually it was, you know, it was good to watch and it's good to see him back and that. But, like, I was seeing a lot of people tearing it a bit and tearing the show a bit. And I was like, look, do you know what? You're looking at it as, like, from, like, 20, 30 years ago when Tyson was ripping through people. You can't look at it like that. Do you know what I mean? It was him getting back in the ring. He's 54, in great shape. It was what it was, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah.
And I, the only thing I liked most about that pay-per-view, and I'm still flabbergasted that besides Floyd Mayweather, the only one that's really drawing money nowadays are the people from the 90s and the 80s. You know, Roy Jones Jr. versus Mike Tyson, I think the only good business move was putting these young cats like in the card, besides Jake Paul, because I think Jake Paul is kind of like a sideshow act, but neither here or there. It's questionable, like, you know, it's subjective. But, you know, I still find it weird that they're still going to the well and bring out Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. to build that card, to make that card happen, to get those pay-per-view buys. So, like, I think boxing, and I like it with bare knuckle fighting, where they're putting money behind their talent. They're invested in you. They're investing the talent, marketing said talent. I think boxing has to do the same thing, man, where they are invested in building stars and building more stars. You know, like, they're going to the well, you know, just going and digging out those old dinosaur bones from, like, 90s and 80s. And we might love it for nostalgia, but it does nothing for the sport, for the younger generation that's actually coming up. Because I don't think boxing needs a talent injection at all. I think they need a marketing injection. Well, I don't know what you think about that, but.
Do you know what? The way I look at it, right, I think, you know, now I've been a professional glove boxer. I've obviously been in the business side of things. And, you know, I've been training down at Johnny Tocco's gym with a load of Mexican amateur fighters. And, you know, and I love being down there. I love the hunger. I love the passion, you know, the amateur fighters. Back when they're sports for the sport, love the sport, do you know what I mean? And obviously the whole professional side of things, it just messes things up. And you just look at kids down there, I was like, these kids are class, like real class kids, but these guys will probably never get picked up, never get noticed, and will probably never be nothing because they don't sell tickets, they don't do this, they don't do that, they can't be marketed. Do you know what I mean? And that is what professional glove boxing has turned into. It's just turned into who can we market best? Jake Paul, a YouTuber, some mug offline who started boxing a year ago, and all of a sudden he's on, you know, he's on these pay-per-view cards and stuff like that. And yeah, it's a sorry state of affairs, pro boxing. I don't watch it at all. Like I said, I watched a few rounds of the Tyson Roy Jones, but I can't tell you a fight before that I watched glove boxing, really.
If you're
Pacquiao Tyson was my last fight. Pacquiao and Mayweather, excuse me.
Oh, Mayweather, yeah.
I said Tyson. Yeah,
it's lost it for me. And that's coming from a boxer as well. You know, like 10 years ago, I told you who boxed in the Philippines or wherever. I knew every fight that happened, but now it just doesn't interest me like that.
Somebody just made a comment that you should fight Mike Tyson. It's great.
Yeah, no, if the money's there.
I think personally, you need to fight Jake Paul or somebody.
All day long, and twice all days.
That guy's probably the most protected guy right now in boxing. I mean, he fought a fucking basketball player. That was his last fight. And he's calling out Dylan Dennis. Dylan Dennis. And I've been in boxing classes with Dylan Dennis. Dylan Dennis would fuck him. He would ruin that kid's world. Ruin that kid's world. And then calling out Conor McGregor. So my biggest complaint is like CM Punk and like Jake Paul, and they're part of the instant gratification generation where they're not going through the amateurs. They're not going through your journey where you had to fight on the streets, you know, earn everything you've got, fight in different amateur leagues, and then make it to bare knuckle fighting where now you're going to be a name and now you're going to make money. You're already blowing up. But like, you know, that's my biggest problem with like Jake Paul, instant gratification generation, man. You would light his ass up. I absolutely have no doubt about it.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I remember that's why it was, you know, such a slap in the face to us professional glove fighters, because you've got these guys who are essentially like white collar, unlicensed level fighters who are jumping straight onto the big stage when, you know, I had 70 amateur fights. I started when I was 10 years old in a barn where that had holes in the roof, so when it rained, water was coming in with one punch bag. Do you know what I mean? That's how I started. And then all of a sudden, these guys are earning millions because they're playing the PlayStation on YouTube and all that. It's madness. Do you know what I mean? But that's the world we live in nowadays, isn't it? So
10 years down the road, where do you see yourself? And we're going to wrap this up, and I know you have things to do. 10 years down the road, where do you see yourself?
You know, honestly, I don't know where I don't know where I'm going to be in 10 days, honestly. And I'm fighting in 9, do you know what I mean? So I should know where I am roughly, but I don't. It's, let's not plan ahead.
Gotcha, man. And
all I'm going to say is it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a journey, and it's going to be fun. That's all I'm going to say.
And final words on Crazy Horse, final perspective on him going to the fight, final words for the fans. What do you got to say to your opponent? What do you got to say to the fans that are going to be watching the fight, including me?
Do you know what? I see that Fellini, the way he came into the ring in his last fight against Bedford with his trousers around his ankles. That. So I can't help but like the guy already, but I will be facing on the 11th. I look forward to his next intro, and also look forward to mine as well. It's going to be
fuck yeah, man. Right on, brother.
And just thanks to everyone back home in the UK. I know everyone's gonna be tuning in, supporting me like they would be back home. And let's just do the business and enjoy it.
You're gonna be a big name, and I can't wait to see you blow up. And you're already blowing up. But where can we find you on Instagram, Facebook, social media, website, sponsors? Where can we find you, man?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram under LEL Tornado Tyler TY. And I'm on Twitter at Tornado Tyler. If you want to follow me, most of my stuff's going to be on Instagram, my videos, my training, everything else, and just, pre-fight build-up, really. So,
you're the fucking man, brother. I can't wait to see your fight. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I'm looking forward to it. BKFC 15, playing against Crazy Horse. Dude, I can't wait, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show, brother.
Yeah.
See you there.
See you soon. Awesome.
Dude, that guy was fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome. I like the way he talks a lot of smack, hypes it up. So, you know, that gets me going.
He's a good dude, too. That guy is so, you know, especially talking on the level. He's such an interesting guy when the camera turns on. But, you know, talking on the level, the guy is so humble. And dude, I can't wait to see his fight against Crazy Horse. Shit. Crazy Horse? So Crazy Horse fought for, like, King of the Cage. He fought for Pride. Fought a lot of fights in Japan. He actually got into a backstage fight with Wanderlei Silva in 2004 or 2005. Got into a big backstage brawl with Wanderlei Silva. Called him out when he fought for Dream or Ryzen. But that was like a big feud between him and Shooter Box. And Crazy Horse is a goddamn madman. And now you have one of the guys backed out. So now you have fucking Crazy Horse entertaining an American versus Mr. Goodjohn, who's, you know, he's... Dude, two entertaining guys. This is going to be fireworks. I can't wait to watch it.
Oh, I can't. I'll be sitting there live, you know, having a drink while you're in New York stuck.
All right. So before we wrap up the show, your Christmas present. You and I were having a little debate on Messenger. What are you talking about, Jake Paul? Because you and I were having this conversation. I want to know your feelings about that.
To me, it's a two-sided argument. I mean, you got. Well, it's a three-sided. So you got the business side,
mm-hmm.
you got the dedicated fighter side,
okay,
and then you got the fan side, and then you got also the purist side. You got people that are purists, like, you know, and you know, like, I can understand why fighters are so upset about it, because they've put their heart, they go every day, work out, they train, you know, they've gone through all the ropes to get to where they're going. But on the other side, you got somebody that's bringing new eyes, especially back to boxing. So, you know, he helped build the Mike Tyson card. You know, that whole event, you know, probably would not have happened had it not been for him.
Mike Tyson didn't sell out arena shitting in the middle of the ring.
Right. But I think the whole event really started being planned around Jake.
Agree, disagree. So
I don't know. That's what I understood of it. But anyway, it brought a lot of eyes to the sport that, you know, might have been there. So and that brings money to all the people, the fighters, you know, around it.
That's a fair point. That's a very good point. But let's look at it from a different side of the coin. Okay. So Jake Paul has gotten two opponents, right? Two opponents.
You don't even have to make your point. I know your point. Like,
completely padded record.
He just rose up to the top level with nothing.
Completely padded, completely protected. And boxing, you're able to do that, especially if you're unranked. You're under the Muhammad Ali. Thank you very much, Greg Scott. You're the fucking man. Thank you very much, brother. So they're unranked. So under the Muhammad Ali Act, which has rankings and everything like that, if you're unranked or you're kind of like in the bottom tier level, you're allowed to set up fights accordingly. So you can put up one fight against another guy, and it could be a guy that's unranked with a 0-0 record, and he could have no experience whatsoever. He could have zero experience, as the case with his NBA player, his former NBA player. I don't even know the deal with that. This guy came out of nowhere. Like, it makes no sense. And in any world, in like the 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, 90s, nobody would get a shot, you know, especially on a top card, sharing it with Mike Tyson with an 0-0 record. In no world whatsoever that we previously lived in the 90s or even the 2000s or even the 80s or 70s. So now you have a 1-0 guy fighting an 0-0 guy, sharing a card, being a co-main event to perhaps one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. So that's just ridiculous to me, especially as a boxing fan and as a hardcore fight fan and a guy that has friends that actually fought through shit to get to where they are today. And, you know, same journey as I did, where I didn't have Instagram, I didn't have Facebook or anything. I fought because I loved it. Now, take away Jake Paul's Instagram, take away his Facebook, take away everything, and ask him to fight for the love of the sport. What do you think will happen? Fight, take a fight, and you can't post about it. You can't share training videos. You can't do it for online clout. And find out if he really loves boxing. So that's number two. You know, I think he's doing it for online clout, and he's also doing it for attention. So he's not doing it for the love of the game. And anybody that says he can train and do a full camp and do all this without publicity and without posting it on Instagram every 20 minutes about him training with different people and people that are enabling him too, you know, like, so he can't do it. So he's obviously doing it for money and he's doing it for attention. That's number two. And number three, fucking Jake Paul calling out established fighters who did go through the shit to get to where they are today. Dude, he has no business calling out a Conor McGregor, a Dylan Danis, who Dylan Danis is a great guy, and I've met him personally. He's been in boxing classes with me, jiu-jitsu classes. Dylan Danis, don't believe the hype on Twitter or whatever. Dylan Danis is a great guy, and shout out to him. So calling out Dylan Danis, who's a black belt and trained his entire life, and going through the stages of becoming a jiu-jitsu black belt, it's fucking hard enough. You know, calling out established martial arts and established boxers, everything, he's going to get himself killed. And third and fourth and fifth and sixth, Mr. Feldman also told him to come over to BKFC. Do you know why he won't come over to BKFC?
Why
Jake Paul will not come over to BKFC. Do you know why?
There's probably a numerous amount of reasons. One being he'll get his face smashed in.
Because he won't be protected. He won't be protected. He's going to be – okay.
But could we find another basketball player for him to fight? Maybe. Is he going to fight a real fighter? No.
So I see it from your point of view, and
what if back in the 90s, what if like Herschel Walker and O.J. Simpson decided they wanted to fight? Do you think HBO or one of the places would put that fight on?
Absolutely not. And do you know how I know that? It's because the Oakland Raiders had one of their biggest names. I forget what his name is. He died of steroids in 1991. But one of the biggest football players ever, he was a big, jack, mean guy. I forget his name, but he died of steroids. One of the fans listening, if you can shout out his name, because I fucking forget it. But he challenged Muhammad Ali, and they had a fight. They barely sold the best thing that will ever happen for Jake. He will be done soon. Yeah. So, very good point, Howie. Thank you very much. He will get his ass kicked. I completely agree with you, brother. Thank you very much for your comment. So, there was a big fighter football player in the 70s and 80s that challenged Muhammad Ali. It was not aired anywhere.
Okay.
To my knowledge, it was not aired anywhere.
Full stop. Did the fight actually happen?
Yeah, the fight did happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it an exhibition or was it a real fight?
I believe it was an exhibition. Yeah, an exhibition because he couldn't get a license, and especially under rules and boxing protocol, absolutely a 0-0 guy shouldn't fight.
You got to fight somebody that you have a chance with, right?
Yeah. But
and that's why I'm saying, what if it was? I mean, you got Jake Paul and a basketball player. I mean, they're nobodies in the world of sports. I'm saying, what if you had a nobody in the world of boxing like OJ, and you had Herschel Walker.
And do you know in the 80s how fucking ridiculous it would be if they were sharing a card with a Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson? If they were a co-main event even. If you're going to do it, put them on the way, way undercard. Put them on the pre-show. Don't dilute the sport, one, because it's instant gratification and it's a short-term victory because you're going to bring in all their Jake Paul fans and these fuckboys. We're going to watch the sport and then go away as soon as Jake Paul gets his ass kicked. And it just dilutes the sport because they're going to see Jake Paul boxing. They're going to buy it just to watch Jake Paul. And they're saying, wow, that's really shitty in comparison to the last three fights that I watched. It dilutes the sport. It makes the sport look ridiculous. And 70s, 80s, 90s, they all got that. You know, like there was still something called, there was no online clout. We're not going to book you because you're Instagram followers. Fuck Instagram. Fuck YouTube. I don't care about any of that stuff. We're going based on rankings and merit. Like back in the 70s, they saw this football player who was a football player playing a guy who was an Olympic gold medalist in Rome in 1960, Muhammad Ali, and one of the greatest of all time and heavyweight champion. The public deemed this as ridiculous. They took it as such, and they made an exhibition. It made no money whatsoever. Now I think, you know, don't make boxing look stupider than what it already is, because there's only short-term gains of money, and long-term, you know, it does nothing long-term for boxing. Jake Paul is not going to have a long-storied career like a Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson. Don't make him even share the same ring as them. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I'm saying there's two sides of the coin, and you're definitely, you could, I know you're absolutely a purist when it comes to combat sports and just, you know, in general, but then there's the fan, get eyes on it, business side of it. I understand both sides.
Okay. All right. Right on.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's two sides to it, and I completely understand your point.
That Mike Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight, and I've been talking about this since the beginning of our podcast. Yo, 6 to midnight. I swear to God, watching that fight, so excited, so happy. Dude, that fight lived up to my every expectation. And they're in their fucking 50s. Oh, my God. Glorious. Shout out to Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson. Fucking love them. That was entertaining as fuck. Like, literally, nostalgia, positive endorphins, popping in my head like Pop Rocks. That was great. Loved it.
Did you see how tired he was by, like, round 2, 3?
Because I wouldn't fuck with Mike Tyson even if he's in a wheelchair. I wouldn't fuck with him if he was in his casket. Mike Tyson's a bad mofo, without question.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, like, I mean, Tyson looked not even winded at the end of it.
Nope, because Tyson is abnormal. He's a goddamn machine. And I love him ever so.
Did you watch the very end when they were interviewing him?
Yeah.
And it talks to Roy. He's like, hey, so were you afraid he was going to, you know, beat your ass and knock you out? Were you afraid, you know? And Tyson's like, hey, excuse me. I've been out of this game for 20 years. You're making the fuck about me.
What the fuck are you – what are you worried about Roy Jones Jr. for? Yo, Mike Tyson's a – you know, he's a bad cat. Yo, and Snoop Dogg, the most underrated commentator on the planet. I don't care what anybody says. As a commentator, we'll be commentating for Pancras next year. Shout out to all my boys in Pancras and you, of course, for hooking it up. But as a commentator, Snoop Dogg, one of the most underrated commentators of all time. And he was baked the entire time. God love his soul.
I heard a lot of people complain about him, said he brought nothing to the table, but I thought he was funny.
I thought he was funny as shit.
Yeah, I liked it. So
Howie just – thank you, Howie. Howie just said Jake probably brought in 100,000 buys. Thank you, Howie. Thank you. The show was Mike Tyson. The show was Mike Tyson and a little bit of Roy Jones Jr. because Roy Jones Jr., of course, Olympic silver medalist because he got screwed. He should be Olympic gold medalist. We'll talk about this another episode. Neither here or there. I don't want to get into details. But two legends in the ring. That was the selling point. That was the show, not Jake Paul. Jake Paul was that – it was that sideshow attraction. That should have been the exhibition because Mike Tyson at 54 boxed better than both of those cats. Just saying. At 54. I wouldn't even share the same ring as Mike Tyson to wipe his own sweat, let alone Jake Paul and this basketball player. You know, you shouldn't even be on the same – sharing the same car as a legend. Like two legends of Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. stature. Just say. So that's my personal opinion on it. But it looked up my every expectation is fucking radical. So
well, I don't know what to say to that. I mean, I agree. No way I would step in the ring with the guy. But I wouldn't step in the ring with anybody, so
absolutely not. But so what do we got next week for us, good sir?
Next week, I will be at BKFC 15, probably going live with some of my new equipment I just bought. So,
right on.
So we won't be doing anything because I won't be able to get us going.
Okay.
And at some point, I probably need to teach you how to use the studio so you can just probably start it yourself. But after that, we got Gustavo Lopez on the 17th.
Awesome.
I think he's just coming off a UFC win.
Awesome.
And then Brittain. I think it's Brittain Hart is her name. I just watched her whoop some ass at BKCF 14. She just beautiful. It was like a clinic. She took the girl to task, and the girl didn't look right afterwards. So it was a good match.
Right on. Cool. Awesome.
And that'll be on the 16th with the girls. So
cool. Awesome. Great guests. Television show, a little bit delayed. Should be, you know, script rewrites and all that fun stuff. So it should be episode 2, episode 3 should be January, February. Apologize for the delay. Promise it'll be worth it. If it's worth it, let me work it. Put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it. Nah. But nevertheless, any last words
before we depart? Yes, I got a few. Be sure to download our smart TV apps at Fight Mixer TV. We got it on Roku, Amazon Fire Stick, and Apple TV. Also, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. Dreamy Nutrition is our sponsor. They're going to be releasing their products come the first of the year. So you get all your pre-workouts and whey from them. And our other sponsor, Goat Combat Agency. If you're needing a fight agency to back you up and help you get fights, check them out. They're big into the BKFC if you're wanting to get into there. So,
two great companies, Drenger. Make sure to order their supplements and Goat. If you want good representation, and I'm telling you, I can vouch for these guys. If you want some good representation, oh my God, I'm stuck in my words tonight. But if you want some good representation for fighters, definitely go to Goat. Goat will take care of you.
And if you don't think you need one, you need one. Absolutely. I mean, you need a manager to basically tell you not to take fights. That, you know, the negotiating part's good, but sometimes you need to be told not to take a fight. And that's,
hell yeah, brother.
They'll be good at helping you with that. Absolutely. Negotiating you into a fight that you deserve.
So, boys and girls, all my bros and hoes in different area codes, thank you very much for joining us for the Fight Mixer on this Thursday night. We'll see you the week after next week as Matty will be off to BKFC 16. He'll be covering all the fighters, covering all the happenings of that event. So go on Fight Mixer on Facebook to follow his adventures. I can't wait to see what's going on with him. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, from the Fight Mixer, thank you very much for joining us. We will see you the week after next week. Peace.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.